The challenge is that because we're dealing in the invisible realms of thought and creative visualization, people dismiss it. But if you ask any like Olympic gold medalist how they visualize to get to that level, and I guarantee you, they all had a process of creating absolute certainty, confidence, and visualizing the outcome as well as the methods to get there.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one to self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Wayne Lee. There's three important facts to know about Wayne. One, he was a five-time Canadian wrestling champion. If you look at him, you might not believe it, but he was. Two, he's an avid collector of crystals, and that includes crystals like amethyst and quartz. And three, most importantly, Wayne has delivered presentations to over 6,000 audiences around the world over the past 25 years. And in particular, Wayne uses hypnosis as a tool to entertain and, more importantly, help people achieve peak performance. Wayne, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Hey, thank you very much for having me, George. It's a pleasure.
Delighted to have you here. I've been in your audiences, watched your presentation, and no, I didn't get up on a stage and bark like a dog. But a lot of people did things up on stage that they might not normally have done. How does that make you feel when you're seeing people who are pretending they're playing an instrument or doing a dance? Do you feel like you're, I don't know, intruding on their trust? Or how do they, you know, what's the exchange after? Do they come and say, why did you make me do that?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. And, you know, doing it for so long, first of all, it's been a passion, like an absolute privilege and an honor to be able to interact with people. So I've always respected people's feelings as well as just the openness that they share. So my whole goal and the intention is for them to come up after and say, you know, that was one of the coolest things I've ever done. And I feel so good right now. Where it's led is into a place of me discovering a whole bunch of tools about how to help people. But really to let people, not so much about me. I think in the beginning, it was more me, like this powerful feeling of, oh my goodness, I'm controlling these people. But ultimately that's an illusion in a sense that we have this great power to influence, this great power of persuasion, yet ultimately people are letting go of their own fears and doubts to become the performer they're meant to be. I really believe people are great performers. So up on stage, when you see somebody go from a shy, quiet type person to being one of the greatest dancers in the world, or at least they think they're the greatest dancer in the world, that is absolutely mind-blowing. And more than that, it gives people in the audience permission to do the same.
So is hypnosis a means to convince somebody to do something they don't want to do? Or is it a means to actually discover what they really want to do?
Both. It's really a term that's a misnomer, hypnosis, meaning sleep, the Greek word. And at no time are people sleeping. The way I like to say it is that people are still aware. They just don't care. So what happens is they do one thing, and out of the, you know, 60, 70,000 people that I've hypnotized, is I can boil it down to this, is that people are more receptive and more responsive to the suggestions that I give them. So if that's the case, what's the case when they're not hypnotized? Well, a lot of people are then in a state where they're rigid and they're in their own way. So people carry around, and all of us carry around, these self-limiting beliefs and walls that we put up that are subconsciously held, and they become habits. And because they become habits, we are so close to them, we don't even know that they exist. And that's why they call it subconscious, or in the subconscious. But the subconscious is much more than that. It's infinite intelligence that you can tap into. So hypnosis is really a means to get people to move out of their way, to relax their mind, to relax their body, which is in and of themselves the same thing. Body, mind is all one. And we can talk about that, about how moving your body is so important to creating a peak state so you perform better. Yet what I've realized is that they're more responsive. So if they're out of their own way and I can give them a suggestion to become a great dancer, what if I was giving them a suggestion to hit a greater sense of performance in sales, in leadership, in becoming a more effective communicator? Then that's the suggestion they'll take. So although the entertaining part is really one of the most fascinating things, if it's done, you know, in the right way and upbeat and it's fast paced and it's got the elements there. And I've always been driven by that. And I had some great mentors to begin with. I also know that it's about how you can translate that to in your own life. So you can start to give yourself suggestions as well as you can influence others with the suggestions that you're giving other people.
So when you are giving or using hypnotic suggestions, who are you really talking, like who and me are you talking to? What part of my brain are you reaching?
It's a great question. And I don't think that it's completely understood. I think there's a lot of people that will give you scientific answers and they will give you all sorts of factual, based evidence, but you can talk to different experts like myself and all these people, and they're going to talk in different language and they might have different answers. So the best way I can describe it is that it's still a bit of a mystery because we can talk about left brain, right brain. I like to say it's more confusing than ever. So why don't just say that it's infinite intelligence? Is that if you take on the belief that when you're talking to your subconscious, and some people call it superconscious or unconscious, that you talk to it in a way where you're requesting that you're, you know, the same things that have supported you in creating beliefs that are limiting you. It was just in the time that it happened years ago, it was a way to support your reality or meaning to create reality. That same subconscious, that same inner power that you have is what can let it go. So you're talking to the part that's beyond the conscious, that's just beyond our awareness of the, you know, 7 bits of information that we take in and that we can process at any given time. It's what's playing in the background, which is magical.
Now, I hear you talking about the subconscious. So are we guided more by our subconscious than our conscious? Or is our subconscious kind of a safe place that we go when we're threatened or excited?
It's both. I think, okay, so I have an acronym for the subconscious. It's your GPS. It's your great programmable subconscious. It's also your great powerful subconscious. I'm going to have to be throwing these out there, but I love the acronym. So I'm going to make them stick here. The three parts to your subconscious are, they're there to guide you, which is G, to protect you, which is the P, and the S is to support you. And what I mean by that, and I'll make these distinctions very clear, is first of all, they guide you in relation to your authentic self in every moment. Not just in the future, not just in the past, not in the present. In every moment, your subconscious is always letting you know that you're on course with who you are. And you might be asking, well, how does it guide you? Here's the answer. Your feelings. You're on a feeling scale where some people are fighting their feelings. They're like, I don't want to have this feeling. Or they'll grow up thinking they have to be a people pleaser. So they stuff those feelings in. And that'll show up in your body as illness, disease down the road, or some form of rage, of emotional anger. But when you're in a state of joy, you're in a state of excitement, you're in a state of empowerment, you are fully connected to who you are. It's your guidance system, your GPS, your great programmable subconscious, always letting you know that you're on course. And that's what excites me so much. You know, how people can shift into a state like that. It doesn't take years, but a lot of these subconscious beliefs that people have picked up, it may take just a little bit of time to work on them, to let them go, because they're so used to having them. Or they also have a fear that if they let them go, they're going to have to change their identity. They're going to have to shift. When that subconscious is letting you know, your feeling state is always letting you know that you're aligned or you're misaligned.
So is it fair to say that if someone isn't feeling good about a situation or a problem they're dealing with or how they've been told to deal with, that the reason they're not feeling well is because it's not aligned with their subconscious, their GPS?
Yeah, it's not aligned with their authentic self. Their GPS is in the background saying, we're going to do everything to support you. It's like a genie, and it's letting you know that you're not aligned. Now, here's one of the things that I want to make absolutely clear is it's not about always feeling good. It's not always being in a state of joy. It's about moving up the scale. So when somebody is in a state of depression or hopelessness, that's pretty low on the rung. If they get to a state of anger, they've made some improvement. They're channeling that energy.
Okay, but at least they're responding in some kind of...
Yes.
Yeah.
But the more that you make it a habit of anger, you'll stay in that anger. So make it a habit of happiness. You know, condition your mind and do some disciplines every day where you do gratefulness, practice, you know, appreciate things, create a visualization. Because aren't we looking for one thing, no matter if we have more money, we have a great relationship, we're always looking for the end result. And here's the prize answer of how it makes us feel.
Now, I want to come back to that because there was something you mentioned earlier that I also don't want to forget. I want to bring it up before I forget. You talked about the connection between the body and the mind and
yes.
How they, is there some sort of synergy or a way that we can better coordinate the body and mind?
Yeah, you betcha. Movement. I think a lot of people get so caught up in their head that they are replaying and repatterning this limiting belief, whatever it may be. I'm not good enough, or this won't happen to me. Other people can do it, but I can't do it. And people will try. They try to fight that by, you know, picking a better thought. And the quickest way to get out of that is move your body. And I have a belief, yeah, like exercise right now, if you look at the research and the evidence, and I'm not the expert on it, but you look at the people that have done all the research, they will tell you that movement exercise is one of the most powerful ways to de-stress. Breathing, movement, that's it. You know, all the meditation, the hypnosis is always great to layer that, and it's always great, but people have to find something that works. But if people move their body and they create, shake up, you know, shake it off for a wake up. They shake off whatever energy is there because really our mind and body are one.
So when we move, whether it's exercising, running, walking, jumping, dancing, it loosens up the cobwebs in our mind.
That's a great way to put it. We've created walls and blocks, and I talk about the flow state, and there was a book called The Flow. The author, hard to pronounce his name, so I'm not going to even attempt. Yet the flow state, the acronym that I have for flow is feeling life operate within.
So now feeling life and operate within.
Yeah, feeling life operate within. You feel it operate within. Now at a deeper level, it's feeling love operate within. Everything at that base of love. But for some people, that's a little fluffy. But if you look at the vibrational sense of us always being guided, if you're in a state of flow, the only thing that stops that state is your own self through a belief that puts up a wall, and then it clashes. And that clash, you'll feel it in your body. So how do you deal with it? Move your body, get your cobwebs out, like you just said, go for a run, do whatever exercise that feels good, or do some sense of movement. And if you look at top performers, whether it's, you know, Anthony Robbins has been doing this for years, that your physiology creates your psychology. And it's so true. William James talks about, you know, smiling, you know, that makes you happy. Happiness doesn't make you smile. Well, it does. Yet when you smile, you change your state immediately. So it's easier to change your body state in terms of movement many times. A great way to prime yourself, to program your subconscious, is through what I've been doing for years, is the hypnosis as well as meditation to quiet your mind, because that also makes room and peace for the channel of flow to come through.
Now, you use hypnosis to offer suggestions to people to help them to either, you know, make them perform, to move, make them feel better. Can people do it to themselves?
Without a doubt. In fact, they've been hypnotized throughout their whole life by social conditioning.
Ah.
So we have what we call mind triggers. And the moment that we wake up, we are setting the intention or not the intention. We're continually doing it on a habitual level. So the habitual levels that we're operating at have been hypnotized into us. Maybe not by a stage hypnotist on stage, but by our programmers when we were young, whether it's teachers, parents, you know, authority figures. And so people just need to reprogram themselves by creating different mind triggers. Something I've been doing on stage for years is getting people to visualize. And really, here's the trick, is feeling as though they've achieved their goal. And when they do that, they are actually hypnotizing them into a state of programming their subconscious. And your subconscious is saying, I accept, let's go to work. And when they're at this peak state, which is full alignment, they will, and this is the process I guide them through, is having think of a color, and it's a color that just comes to them by their subconscious and putting their hand to their heart, which is a physical movement. So that right there is hypnosis, is 5 minutes, 6 minutes, people hypnotize themselves through the use of getting aligned, feeling empowered, and being able to do that on a daily basis. The challenge is that because we're dealing in the invisible realms of thought and creative visualization, people dismiss it. But if you ask any like Olympic gold medalist how they visualize to get to that level, and I guarantee you, they all had a process of creating absolute certainty, confidence, and visualizing the outcome as well as the methods to get there. And that's my experience. I mean, now talking not about other people, but my experience was in the sport of amateur wrestling. I remember when my coach asked me, you know, how well I wanted to do this year. And I says, I want to make it to the finals of the national championships. And sure enough, my mantra, which was just a couple words saying, I want to make it to the finals. I want to make it to the finals. I'm going to make it to the finals. I could clearly see myself on the podium. I could visualize myself doing all the techniques, which I love to do. And then we make it to the national championships and I win the three matches. I am wrestling to go to the finals. And sure enough, you know, I was a 3-all tie, but I made it into the finals. Don't even remember how I got the extra point. And then I'm wrestling somebody in the finals that I thought was pretty good, but I thought I could beat that person and I lost. And the reason why, and my coach laid it out, he says, what did you focus upon? Getting to the finals, not winning. So it was very evident right there about just the whole process of how I hypnotized myself to create an expectation, which became a self-fulfilling prophecy.
How does one expose the negative thoughts that are hypnotizing us to be self-destructive? How do we find them and how do we overturn them?
Great question, George. First of all, I think that what you focus upon expands. I live by that saying. So if people are continually focusing upon what they don't want, it's going to show up in their life more so. So asking the question, what do you want? You know, specifically or generally, what do you want? And get them to focus upon what they want. And some people actually resist that because they've been jaded in the past. They won't even go there because then they have to commit to doing it. It's a whole bunch of reasons, but that's one of the great questions you can ask. And it's so simple as what do you want? And they will usually tell you what they don't want, all these things. And in there is a lot of self-limiting beliefs and things that they don't want. But more than that, when you get somebody to a point of what they do want, and then you say, well, how will that look once you've achieved it? And they'll tell you. Then just ask the question, how much doubt or fear do you have in getting there? Or how confident are you? Any one of those questions will then indicate or gauge, I like to say it's a gauge of what's stopping them. Because they're like, oh, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like, I'm highly doubtful. Like I'm just so worried it won't happen. And if they're at a 9 and a 10, I'll say, well, what's beneath that feeling? Because the feeling's always indicating the self-limiting belief. And then they'll start to talk about it. They'll say, well, you know, I was told I couldn't do this. And that's the voice that's playing out of my head. So it usually is boiled down to, I'm not enough. I'm not worthy enough. That then will show up as hesitation, procrastination, people pleasing, the appearance of being happy and joyful, but really you're just, you know, stuffing down your own thoughts and feelings and looking for approval. And that's why self-love and self-acceptance of who you are right now with all your flaws is the flow. So I think a really important key in this is for people not to think that they need to fix themselves. They never do. And that will be a lifelong journey of misery. I know very highly successful people that have continually searched for the void. They've made a lot of money. They've had a lot of success and they feel so unfulfilled. So I say, you can feel fulfilled right now. You don't need to delay your success. Come from a place of where you're whole, complete, and perfect right now. And anything else that gets in the way is just a self-limiting belief that you can let go of. And it's a beautiful thing because we're in this ecosystem of our body-mind, with the great programmable subconscious always letting us know that we're on course or off course. So we can choose to create from a level of that and we can choose to let go of the things that are stopping us.
And Wayne, how did you use these principles, these techniques for yourself, for your own life? Where has it had the biggest impact?
You know, I think it's had the biggest impact on some of the obstacles like I've had to overcome and just my big goals that I created. So I'll share a couple. Like first of all, one of the main influences in my life was the sport of amateur wrestling. So one of my goals was to make the Olympics. I remember in grade 9, I made a promise to myself. I said, whatever I'm going to do later on in life, it's because I was involved in wrestling for a year and a half at that time. And I just loved it. I was obsessed with it. It was a great obsession. And I also knew that whatever I was going to do later on in life, I'd have to feel that way. I'd have to feel that passion. So I set the bar high for myself. And that was the first part of understanding that we have this beautiful power within us that's always there, never leaves. And we need to dig deep, especially in times when we need it most. So I made that promise. And I think that promise was really profound, not knowing that it was such a profound thing at the time. But now I look back and I'm like, wow, that set the bar. That was a great promise. And then as I went through, I remember, I did at first in wrestling, I got beat up a whole lot, but I stuck with it for whatever reason. And then I was around some amazing coaching and some amazing trainers and the best of the best. And I got to a level where I won the nationals a number of times, but my ultimate goal was making the Olympics. And unfortunately, over the years, I had some really serious neck damage, and it came to the point where it was an injury of a C5, C6, C7 herniated disc. I lost feeling in my arms. I was partially paralyzed in my arms. And I went to the doctor, and the doctor said that I needed surgery. There was no way I was going to regenerate or heal. And it was in that moment that I was devastated, because pretty much my goal was gone. Wrestling was taken away. And when I went home, I just completely let go. I did not obviously go back on the mats. I didn't practice. I had to just, ease up and relax. And in that process, there was something within me that kept visualizing all of the wrestling and all of my movements and the things that I love to do. And it felt really good. And as time went on, I regained feeling in my arms, strength. And the time that I went in for the surgery, the doctor did some muscle testing and some testing to see about the surgery, about prepping. And he says, Wayne, you don't need the surgery. And so the experience that I had is that whatever I wanted to call it, I call it the invisible forces within you, that it's the infinite intelligence, that it had the power to heal within me. And it's not like I, intentionally, like I'm going to heal myself. I just did one thing that I love to do. I visualized wrestling. And my body knew what to do on its own. And I went on for a couple more years. I won a university title. I did not make it to the Olympics. And I knew that I, lost a lot of the desire just even from that injury. But it allowed me to propel on to becoming a school teacher. And then when I felt there was something missing there, lo and behold, I'm in a nightclub watching a hypnosis show. And my goodness, I was like, I think I'm hypnotized. I want to know more about that. So just having that openness and that sense of how my mindset in getting over obstacles and the healing that happened from within, it's been a beautiful journey. And trust me, there's been some big roadblocks along the way, not making, not achieving certain goals, and just being able to use the same tools and techniques that I'm teaching other people, not only to get over, but to start creating at another, a whole other level.
Now, Wayne, this is during the COVID crisis. It'll end at some point, or it not. Right. And there will probably be other crises that come up as well. During this time, what advice, what suggestions, if you could be suggestive right now and hypnotize the world, what would you say? How would you help them?
I would say go within and start creatively visualizing what you want as opposed to seeing what's happening. Myself, I'm a good example of that. Primarily my income and the revenue was live events where I had some of the biggest live events booked in April, and that was completely wiped. I had to say, what's next? Ask myself a better question. So the quality of your questions really do help. Like, what's next? How am I going to deal with this in a great, fun way? Be real about it. Take it in. Do the stuff that you need to do to take care of the nitty gritty. But set the intention of what you want now. I think time has passed now. And creating the daily disciplines to keep you in a great state. Your state of being, how you feel moment to moment. Again, that's your GPS guiding you, letting you know to create the great state no matter what. Out of this, for me, came me really refining a method, which I've developed called the Aligned Mind Method, that's going to help, millions. I really believe that. And I need faith to have that too. So people that have the faith, and when I say faith, I don't mean it in a religious context. Faith is actually an acronym that I created called, feeling and imagining total harmony, or feeling and imagining things happening. You have to feel it, you imagine it, and you have to let it go. Because so many people are trying to fight and force things. And so that's some of the advice I would give people is create some time on some practices that help you visualize, help you clear the mind, help you stay focused and stay in a good state, You know, my son's eight and I, you know, now use the hypnotic powers on him because when he's going to sleep, he's like, Daddy, can you hypnotize me? And so he coined this great phrase. He goes, can you put me into the good state? And I thought that was beautiful. So in my book, I'm going to call it The Good State because it really is. It's about being in a good state is a state of relief, a state of being better than you where you just were. And we're all looking for that. And we're all looking for it in serving one another, helping each other. I'm kind of going a little bit off topic other than, you know, we need to connect in a time like this. We need to help others and support others and be kind. So those are some of the other things that I think are very important during this time.
Wayne, I look forward to seeing your book when it comes out. I have this final question for you. If people want to find out more about what they can learn from you and this method about making them reach the good state more often, what can they do?
Well, they can definitely go to Facebook. I have a private Facebook group that's called Conscious Creators, and it's really about helping people wake up to their unlimited potential and create a life they love. And doing that in a way where they understand how their subconscious, conscious mind works, and how more importantly that they are the ones to empower themselves and they're brilliant creators. So that will be something in the Facebook private group. They can also come and find me on Facebook and I can get them all set up there.
Okay, and I'll include that link to that private Facebook group in the description of this podcast. You can find out more about how to reprogram yourself to deal with the barriers. Wayne Lee, thank you very much for joining us on Your Intended Message.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.